a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in to a new edition of the Cougar Tracks podcast here on KSLSports.com. Coming to you from Waco, Texas, as BYU falls to the Baylor Bears 38-24. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, and joining me is KSL 5 TV's Jeremiah Jensen. He made the trek out here to Waco as well for television coverage and shooting the game. And JJ, man, this was a tough game for BYU. It was a little bit of a reality check, too, of what they're going to be facing when they get to the Big 12 Conference.
Yeah, we talked all week about this being a taste of Big 12 life for BYU administrators, coaches, players, fans. It was certainly that. A lot of the good things were the hospitality was given here, the excitement that people here have for BYU joining the Big 12. The hard part was on the field where the welcome was a little more rude. Baylor really dominated this game on the line of scrimmage, and Mitch, that's the most troubling thing. Last week, BYU beat themselves. I think those two fumbles near the red zone and the one on their own drive really cost them that game. So you look at that Boise State game, if you're a fan, and you're like, we blew that ourselves. That wasn't because Boise State was better than us. This game you're watching is like Baylor was better than us, and I think that's really hard, especially when you know 2 years from now you're joining the Big 12 and you look at the way BYU was manhandled on the line of scrimmage. Now, given there were some injuries out there, we know that, right? They're not 100%, but this is through a course of a Big 12 season. Yeah. You're going to have guys that go out. Baylor's missing guys too. So that was my takeaway from this game, is BYU got a taste of what life was like in the Big 12, and now they can see what they're going to have to do to maybe – close that gap a little bit when they're in the Big 12, and it starts in the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it really does. And it's crazy, too, to think we're talking like this, because when they face Utah, when they face Arizona State, BYU won at the line of scrimmage. And you know, we heard Kyle Whittingham say, I would have bet my house that BYU would not have beat us at the line of scrimmage. And Utah's a solid football team. But Baylor had better athletes than I maybe gave them credit for coming in. It was an athletic football team, and BYU gives up 303 rushing yards. I would have never thought that would have happened. I mean, I just thought that this BYU team, defensively, I know the whole bend but don't break, but give up 303. You probably have to go back to Kalani's days at SUU to see a stat line like that. It was crazy to see.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have the records in front of us, but do you remember the last time BYU allowed 300 yards rushing in a game?
Yeah, I think it was the Mississippi State, like maybe 2017. It was close, but okay. I mean, something in that 2017 season, but that's about it. That's the only thing that comes to mind.
It's just they don't do that. Right? You're used to getting beat in the air,
yeah,
but not on the ground, and that was the most difficult thing here for them to take. And you look at Baylor, look, they're 6-1 now, right? Their only loss is to Oklahoma State, and now you're like seeing the way they came back and beat Texas today. Oklahoma State's a pretty good football team. So this is not like – I guess what I'm saying is BYU fans should not be like just devastated over this. I mean, you don't want to lose a game, but Baylor's a really good football team. In my opinion, Baylor's probably a top 25 football team. And you were too, but you got beat on their field. And they've got room now to improve. And we talk about this sometimes, Mitch. You know, we're looking at BYU as an independent, and there's these swoons midseason. And I think we're seeing one of those right now, is every year they get off to a great start. They beat one or two Power Fives. And there's been years where they've been in the top 25 after they've gone on those early season runs. And then for whatever reason, I think most of it is injuries and just getting worn down. You get in the midseason and you're still playing these tough games where you're playing a group of five team that's sneaky good, and you end up having these moments. I mean, two losses in a row, we don't see that often from BYU the last couple of years. But I just feel like this is kind of a trend with them in Independence, where they have these midseason swoons, and I think we're in one right now. The good news is Baylor's a really good football team, so you don't need to take too much I guess there's not too much concern long-term about this. It is a good barometer for them now to move forward, especially down the road when they join the Big 12, to see where they got to close that gap. I think while it's a tough loss, this is a good lesson for this program to take now, because it could benefit them in the future.
I think so, too. I think that's a great point, JJ. And again, that we're recapping BYU. Their loss 38-24 to the Baylor Bears here in Waco. The atmosphere, as you noted in the pregame, the hospitality was top-notch. You almost wonder if Baylor knew this was coming, so that's why they rolled out the red carpet for
BYU.
They're
trying to soften them up a little bit before they kick their butt.
I mean, everything, all the little details. I heard Riley Nilsson in the radio talking about how they took out the caffeine from the fridge in the broadcaster's booth because they thought, oh, BYU, they don't drink caffeine. Oh, you are sorely mistaken. Come to Utah County. When you make that trip next year, Baylor, you will see soda is flowing in Utah County.
We have soda shops like they have liquor stores in Waco.
That is right. But, you know, I think one of the positives that BYU fans can take from this game is, well, one, I'd say Jaren Hall. I thought he played pretty well. I mean, 342 yards.
Okay, Mitch,
the stat line looked good.
What's with the Jaren Hall slander?
I don't get it.
Come on, Cougars.
I don't
fans.
Get it, JJ. I was talking about this earlier
what?
In the week.
It's misguided. He's not the issue.
No, he's not. I think the issue is that for BYU, it's what you were talking about, the physicality against teams like a Baylor that just simply are better than you. Jaren Hall's a great quarterback. I think
what's
Jaren
Hall supposed to do when a freshman tackle completely whiffs and a guy swims right around him and hits him from the backside?
Yeah, you think about in that spot, third quarter, BYU, you know, they had that touchdown run from Jaren. Baylor then answers, but then BYU's coming down the field once again. They get a big play through the air with Puka Nacua, and they're in the spot to answer once again, and the fumble happens, and then the game really kind of got lost in that moment. But yeah, what can Jaren do there? I mean, he even acknowledged in the post-game press conference when asked about that, he's like, have to look at the film, but I mean, it's kind of like his non-answer basically is like, I didn't do anything wrong. It's just that guy didn't do his assignment.
He had a 56-yard rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
And he threw for over 300 yards, and he's not healthy.
Yep.
I don't understand that. I mean, I get frustration. You don't like losing, and this team started 5-0. And when you go through a two-game swoon, that's tough. But come on, people. Like, it's not Jaren Hall's fault BYU lost today. It's not Jaren Hall's fault that they lost to Boise State. Jaren Hall didn't fumble three times in that game. I mean, I feel like they've got a really good quarterback, and I think there's a lot of teams around the country that would love to have someone with the talent and the ability and the leadership of Jaren Hall. And I think people need to maybe appreciate that a little bit more. It's easy. I think I've often heard people say this, the most popular person in Provo is the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think that's certainly the case right now. And I think it's unfortunate, misguided. Jaren Hall is playing really good football.
Yeah, he definitely is. And, I mean, Baylor Romney, who was available today, I think that was a positive thing, that if Jaren, who has an injury history, if he ever goes down, Baylor Romney is available. But Baylor Romney never saw a team to the caliber of Baylor when he stepped in relief of Jaren Hall. Utah State's a nice team. USF, not good at all. I mean, Jaren's faced some really good teams on this schedule, Utah, ASU, Baylor, and he's putting up some good numbers. Now it's just a matter of kind of getting more consistency and also getting the ground attack going. Tyler Allgeier was coming into this game, and I thought, he's going to hit that 2,000-yard mark as his career. He only needs 67 yards. He doesn't even come close to that. He's had 33 yards on the day. That right there makes BYU one-dimensional, makes the spotlight on Jaren even bigger, where you can kind of poke at his flaws a little bit.
Yeah, Tyler had that incredible performance at Utah State. And then ever since then, like, I don't know what's going on with, you know, obviously we've talked about the injuries with the offensive line. They struggled to get that going against Boise State. And today, obviously, we've already covered that. I don't know that it's not Tyler. It's been matchups. It's been injuries. It's been all these things. And And it's frustrating. I'm sure fans are looking at it and saying, well, why can't we get the run game? It was, they had 1 yard rushing at halftime.
Yeah.
I mean, BYU, I mean, it's just, they've got to fix that. And it's going to take some time. And you got some young players on that offensive line. I don't think anything's broken. I just think it's a combination of the things we've talked about. It's fatigue, it's injuries, and it's your opponent. And this team has not had a bye week yet. They are grinding through a season. And how many teams have played this many Power Fives?
Not many. I would imagine. I have to look
three,
at the numbers. But.
I know. Look, Arizona is not great. But Utah and Arizona State are good football teams. And to beat those three right out of the gate, have to play them, and then the schedule they have. You mentioned USF. Yeah, not great. But, you know, Boise State's a very good group of five team. The schedule's been really tough. And that you can tell. I mentioned that swoon they have gone through in Independence, that's really at the heart of these issues right now. They just are having to play too many players that don't have enough experience, and I think you saw that today.
Talking about this game here in the post-game podcast here, and if you missed any part of these shows on Cougar Tracks, go to kslsports.com, and you can subscribe to the feed and get all the updates throughout the week. But I do feel like this is going to be one of those moments in BYU when they do get into the Big 12, where it'll be a point of reference that'll always be brought up as like, hey, and that day BYU struggled with their physicality, their depth was tested. It'll just be kind of a lesson. I remember a few years ago when Kalani took a beat down against Wisconsin. He always pointed to that game as like, we want to become that. They did show that against a team like Utah later this season. So I think that, you know, this will be that to me is one of the big takeaways from this game, is that it's going to be a learning lesson for BYU football to continue to grow going into the Big 12 conference. Because, again, whether they won, whether they lost, they're going to the Independence Bowl probably. They want to get to those double-digit wins, back-to-back 10-plus win seasons, which would be huge for the program. Absolutely. Because then you're talking about maybe next year you could have some preseason buzz and hype.
Especially with this schedule.
Right.
Let's be honest. What, 7 Power Fives this year? Have they ever had to do that? That's a grind.
Yeah.
And if they were able to find a way to get to 10 wins, that's a great season, and BYU fans should be proud. At this point, before the season, Mitch, 5-2, would you have taken that?
Oh, yeah. I think that was
– looking at the schedule?
That's what I had them going.
5-2.
I said 9 wins before the season, and I had them through 7 games. I had them going 5-2. Losing to this one and losing to Utah were my two games I thought they'd lose.
They're ahead of schedule. They're ahead of expectations. And it's hard to talk about that right now, but this is going to be a reference point in the future. This is how this program gets better. Fans aren't going to want me to bring up TCU and Utah, but those are two teams that made the transition from G5 to power football, Power 5 football. And BYU is about to make that transition. Independence, I believe, has helped them.
Yes.
They'll have a more accelerated growth. And an accelerated adjustment because of Independence, because of the schedules they've been playing. But they're going to have to make an adjustment. And this game shows you that that's going to have to be the case. But this gives them a starting point. Like, this is where we need to – this is where we're at. And we got 2 years to close that gap, whatever the gap was today. And then they'll be able to have a better idea of how to figure that out. And it obviously starts with recruiting. But the season they're having so far, 5-2, you're playing on ESPN. You're playing against all these big-name teams. You're going to be able to go out and recruit kids. And now you're saying, we're going to play the Big 12. We're going to play these teams. And we'll see if Texas and Oklahoma are around for a couple of years. That's also enticing. So it stinks right now. It stings. 38-24, you thought this was a game you're going to come in and win. You were the ranked team. Mm-hmm. But they're not where they need to be. They're not healthy. But there's a lot to look forward to moving forward, and this is going to help them get better moving forward.
And one of those things, as we wrap it up here from Waco, I think Puka Nacua is going to be one of those guys you get excited about if you're a Cougar fan listening to this. 5 catches, 168 yards, and a touchdown, the first of his BYU career. He had 8 targets. I mean, he was averaging 33 yards per catch. What a great performance from Puka. He looked like the Puka Nacua we saw when he was coming up through the ranks at Orem High School. This was kind of his really breakout performance as a collegiate player, because at Washington he was hampered by a lot of injuries. This was that moment you realized the potential, the ceiling of Puka Nacua. It's great, and I think he's going to become wide receiver one in short order here for BYU.
When he was in high school, I thought he's going to be an NFL receiver someday.
Yeah.
And it didn't surprise me. He went to Washington. He's a Pac-12 player. He's a big-time Power 5 type player. And now he's at BYU. And BYU is going to be able to enjoy this for two, 3 years. We'll see when he decides he's ready to go to the next level. But today you saw what he's capable of. And I would expect next year, maybe in the second half of this year, but next year you're going to see that from him every game. It's going to become more consistent. He becomes more comfortable in this system, and he becomes more confident as a football player. I don't think he developed that confidence that he had at Orem High School at Washington. And now he's in a system where I think he's really spotlighted. I think he's really loved here. And I think he's going to thrive in that. I think this is just the first of many 100-yard-plus games that he's going to have. Puka's eventually at some point going to be one of the great all-time receivers at BYU. I really believe that. I saw him, and he was the best high school receiver I've ever seen in Utah. And I'm talking about Simi Fehoko played in Utah. I mean, there's been some really good receivers from Utah that have come out recently, and he's the best. So I expect this more frequently and more consistently from him. It was a good sign for him, and it's a good sign for BYU.
Again, BYU falls 38-24 to the Baylor Bears, and now 5-2 on the season. For more coverage on KSL5 TV, KSLSports.com, we'll have content on KSL News Radio coming up on Monday as well. So, JJ, this has been good. Let's go get something to eat. And
we are going to get some barbecue.
Yes, let's go get some barbecue, enjoy ourselves, and enjoy our last little bit here in Big 12 country before 2023.
Let's go do it right now.
All right, good stuff, JJ. Appreciate you doing this with me. You can follow him on Twitter at JJ Sports Beat. And again, follow us on KSLSports.com and subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, all major podcasting platforms. Catch you on Sunday night. I'll release my full interview with Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, bright future head Cougar fans. Again, there's a lot of excitement and optimism right now for BYU football going into this move to the Big 12 Conference. So you don't want to miss that and a whole lot more here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.